It's good to see the good audience we have this evening. It's a wonderful privilege we have to another day of life, another day of opportunity, another day of service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have this time, and again, to listen to the Word of God again. And again, I'll be talking about the Word of God this evening. I've chosen for my subject as talking about the subject of why we fail to understand the Bible. And I'm speaking about some in the religious world today. Why is it that they do not understand the things that are so plain to you and I today? We look and see how God speaks to us in intelligent words, and He gives us the meanings of what He's talking about. But yet, have you noticed that most majority of people today can misunderstand some of the most plain things our Lord says through the Scriptures? And I believe all of us have talent and ability. And there are some men of talent and ability who have completely missed some of the truths of God's Word. And I want to look at tonight why it is they may miss some of the things, or some people you talk to in the world, how they may misapply or misunderstand the very Scriptures that all of us have access to. You know, all of us have a Bible. All of us have sometimes many Bibles in our homes. We need to get to know the Scriptures. This lesson is to help us not to do things that will cause us to misunderstand or not understand the Word of God. First of all, I would suggest to you tonight that when we believe that we cannot understand the Bible, and that's one reason why people sometimes will fail to understand the Scriptures. When they think that, well, I just can't understand the Scriptures. You know, that idea, that phrase, I can't do something, is a defeatist attitude. We must come to the Scriptures with a confidence, knowing that if God put this in His Word for me to know, then I can know what God wants me to know. And so we must not come to the Scriptures or to the Bible with an attitude that I just can't understand it. But I believe the Bible tells us it's important for us to know the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, He said, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I believe that's referred to as a command for us as children of God, that we're not to be unwise. God does not want us to be ignorant or unwise of His Word. But we are to understand so we can perform and do every command of God, His will, and obey and teach to others to obey His very will. And I believe we can. If God asks and expects of us something, then I believe God gives us the ability and the intelligence to carry out that command. And so all of us know we must not be unwise, but be ready to come to Scriptures, desiring and wanting to know what God says. In Matthew 7, verse 21, here's the importance of that, because Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's how important it is, because heaven is a place we all want to go to. And we must understand and know what God wants and expects of us in order to be in heaven one day. And so therefore, we've got to come to the Scriptures with an attitude, yes, I can understand the Word of God, that God wants and expects of me if I'm going to go to heaven to understand the Scriptures. Jesus, while He was here on the earth, in Matthew 15, verse 10, the Bible says, "He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand." You know, the things Jesus taught, He wanted the people to hear what He had to say, but also to understand the meaning, the words that He would say to them. And I believe the common people heard Him gladly. They heard the message of what Christ said. And even though there were some that would have to dig a little deeper because of the parables, but still, if they desired to know, even Jesus said, "Person desired to know my words, he could understand them." Romans 10, verse 17. Once again, the importance of that is this. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And that's important, because that's how we come to faith in our Lord, is by hearing and understanding what the message of the Bible is, that God is the Creator of all things. He loved us, sent His Son to die for us, and gave us a way to be free from our sins. We can understand that. We're well on our way to understanding what the Bible says, and knowing what God wants us to know in that plan of salvation for us to follow. But I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3. The brother read in our hearing, Brother Nathan. He said, if ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he has made known unto me the mystery. Now, what's Paul talking about here? The mystery before the Bible and all the things were revealed. You know, a mystery is something that is revealed. And this mystery has, he says, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we should not come to the Scriptures thinking, well, I just can't understand it. Because Paul says here, when you read, you can understand. Now, I know Peter said some words about Paul in 2 Peter 3, that Paul had written some things that were hard to be understood, but they are not impossible to be understood. And you and I should not come with a defeatist attitude because, you know, like the old saying goes, can't, never will, and won't, will never understand. And so we've got to come thinking that I want to and I will understand. And even if we pray and ask God for wisdom, I believe He'll help us to understand. But I do will say that we need to understand more than anything else what the Word of God says. And then point number two of the lesson is this, is that when we believe that only a special few can understand the Bible, that it's not for everybody to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of the Word of God and all that. Some say, well, it's a mystery still, and they hide behind that, or they hide behind the fact that it's only given to certain ones who can know the truths of God's Word. Should we take the attitude of that only certain people can understand it? Well, I don't think that is what God wants us. I believe God wants and expects all of us who are on the earth, anyone who has ears, to hear what Jesus has to say and understand what Jesus has to say. But why would we think that? You know, you've talked to someone who had that idea, well, I can't know it, only preachers know what certain things mean. Well, I believe preachers can relate it to the congregation and the congregation to relate it to their friends, because it should be that simple, that it should be done in that way, that all of us can know what God wants. But why would we think that? First of all, we may look at men who study the Scriptures all their lives, and there are some people down through the ages who were scholars in religion, but they missed certain things. They failed themselves to understand. But here, let's look. Because they have been trained in some seminary school, and I take that way the denomination of the world uses that, the way they say you've got to be trained to know the Bible and the Scriptures. Because we think they've been trained in some seminary school, the world looks at and says, well, preachers know, because that's the way the system of denominational is. That most of the time, it's only the preachers who do know some of the garbled doctrines and commandments that men have espoused through the ages. But here, some look at it and they have degrees in Bible study. And they say, well, they got to know because they studied. But what if they studied the wrong way? What if they studied the wrong ideas and the wrong, they missed things? You know, we should not think that they're on a pedestal, that we can't understand what the mysteries of the kingdom of God are. Just think like this for a moment. What about those Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews who missed the very Messiah who came, Jesus Christ? They were educated in the Scriptures. They went to school with the rabbis. And yet they failed to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. And also we may think this because they studied the Scriptures all their lives, they should know the Bible. And that should be true. I believe we all should study the Bible for all of our lives. You know, that's really the problem sometimes. Is that we say, well, you know, it's only for them to study like that every day. But it's for all of us who want to know, to study the Scriptures every day. And also, because we doubt our own knowledge and ability to know the things the Bible teaches us today. You know, well, sometimes we can, because of a lack of confidence, a lack of really looking and saying, well, I can understand the Word of God. We may doubt ourselves into ignorance of what the Word of God says. But in John chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And what they were saying was this. Jesus had not gone to a rabbi and sat on the feet of one of the rabbis like Gamaliel and others who were great teachers of the law back then. But yet Jesus knew the law. And we might say, well, he was the Son of God. But I believe all of us, even though we've not been to some school or some place, we can, if we desire to, know what the Word of God says. In Acts 4, verse 13, we can be just like the disciples here. The Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Notice that phrase, unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what the difference was? They was with Jesus, the very Son of God, the one who taught them and trained them to know the things of the kingdom. And even though they may have been to the world to be unlearned and ignorant men, they were the wisest of men than all the rabbis who mistook Jesus for an imposter or condemned him as being such. And so we look at our ability, our talents today, what we can bring, even though we may be unlearned and ignorant. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament about a wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein in God's kingdom. In God's ways. And so we understand that we can understand the Scriptures. Then I would suggest to you tonight, when we don't study the Bible for ourselves, you know that last point, when we think only certain ones should know or that we should not know the Scriptures, you know that's what we're doing, isn't it? Is that we are excusing ourselves from really trying and applying ourselves to what the Word of God says. We all need to be students and disciples of the Word. It's not up to the Bible teachers. It's not up to the elders just to study. It's not up to the preachers just to study. It's for all of us as children of God. We have service to God to do, to perform and do God's will. All of us need to study for ourselves. And I think we've seen the fruits of the denominational world, how that there are people in the audience who do not study the Bible like they should. And there's some dangers of that, aren't there? What are some of the fruits of not studying the Bible for ourselves to understand it ourselves? First of all, we become dependent upon others. You know what being dependent is? That you have somebody do things for you that you cannot do yourself. And this is what happens when we become dependent on others to feed us the Word of God, and we really don't know it ourselves. We get dependent upon what they say. And if what if they're saying is not the truth? You know, we're led by someone else. Remember what Jesus said about the blind, Matthew 15, about that where the blind was following the blind leaders, and the blind lead the blind, both would fall into the ditch. And so we are led by someone if we do not study for ourselves. That's why we as preachers will often say, study for yourself. Check out what I say. If I say something that's not right or is different from what the Word of God says, you point that out to me because we all want to know. We should not take someone just because they are a preacher that they're always going to say the truth. We can. There's been a lot of preachers, especially in the religious world at large, who do not say the truth, who really do say things that are way off from what the Bible teaches today. But then also the danger of not studying for ourselves is this, is that we can know more about what some man thinks about what the Bible says than what Christ does say the Bible teaches. Especially when I talk about the subject of baptism. You know, there are people today who say all baptism is just an inward sign of or outward sign of an inward grace. Where is that in the Scriptures? I know people have heard that. In denominational circles, they've heard that maybe many times from the pulpit. But what does the Bible say? Is that what the Scriptures teach? Study for yourselves what the purpose and meaning of baptism is. Don't take my word for it. But I do want you, if I'm saying what the truth is, accept what the truth says. But, you know, we need to know what Jesus said. Now, He is far above. He has all authority above all men on this earth. And so we need to know what Jesus says about baptism. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We don't have to question that. We know that's the truth because it comes from the word of Jesus Christ himself. And also, the dangers, one of the last dangers of not studying for ourselves, is that we can be deceived by someone who's not teaching, by their saying good words and fair speeches. They can deceive people. And I believe that's why the Bible puts Bible teachers and evangelists, as the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I want to qualify that. We don't have apostles, but yet through the inspired words of the apostles in the New Testament. And we don't have prophets today. Some might think we have prophets today, but the age of inspired miracles is no longer with us today. We do have evangelists, some pastors, and I'm talking about elders when the word pastor is used, and teachers. That's part of the Lord's church. We also know deacons, as Philippians 1 verse 1 tells us. And why do we have? But primarily the elders and the teachers and the evangelists, and that's the word who brings good news. Why is that? The word for tells us the reason. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why you're here tonight, because you want to know what the Word of God says. And every Sunday night, every Sunday morning, we come, and Wednesday night and Sunday morning Bible studies. All that is to perfect the saints, to do the work that God has for us to do. Like we said, it doesn't leave anyone out of the study process. And all of this is talking about verse 3, or verse says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's talking about everyone, isn't it? So we all come in unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or complete man, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You and I know that's talking about our example, Jesus, and how we want to be mature and follow Him as good sheep follow our Master. But verse 14, here's one of the dangers. If we're not studying for ourselves. Verse 14 is words of warning today for the church. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You don't think there's people out there today that are ready to deceive you? That will knock on your door, be very zealous to knock on your door and talk to you about what they think the Bible teaches, but yet they fail to understand what the Scriptures teach. And if we don't study for ourselves, we can be deceived. We can be the ones, the Bible says, that are children that are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Jesus said, or actually Paul said it, Galatians 1:8, that there's not another gospel, but there's some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's really what we have, is those who have perverted the gospel of Christ and are deceivers in the world today. And I would suggest to you tonight, point number 4, when we depend completely, and I want to qualify that, when we completely depend on the writings of men to understand the Bible. And I hope no one misunderstands what I'm about to say, because there's a lot of good helps out there. There's a lot of good books that will help us to understand the Scriptures. But we have to be selective of what is out there, though. But I want to ask you a question. What helps our studies? You know, somebody argue and say, well, the Bible is the only book you need. And I would say, absolutely, that's right. If there's no other book that you would need to get to heaven, just the Bible itself. That's the only one, really. But there are some books that I would use, and some I would suggest to others to use in our Bible study. There are some that's profitable. There are some also that are not profitable. This is maybe why some people fail to understand, because they're using things different that is profitable. Now, first of all, I would suggest to you that Bible concordances, maybe topical Bibles about certain subjects, and still you have to be careful, because a lot of times these are written by denominational circles. Bible tracts and conservative commentaries. And I'll say this about commentaries, that commentaries are only as good as the person who wrote the opinions of someone who's written commentaries. And I'm going to say there's a lot of good commentaries. But for every one good commentary, you have several that are not good, that will be more liberal than what they should be. There may be some that may disagree, but these daily devotionals, as far as my opinion about this, I would simply just get up and find some good scriptures of the Word of God that sometimes daily devotionals are maybe not as helpful as they should be. Or you'd be careful with study Bibles. Like I said, these are written by Thomas Nelson or others that really have failed to understand some of the things of Scriptures, and they may try to reference things that shouldn't be referenced together or linked together. Or they'll have mention of a rapture or something like that that's not in the Scriptures. Like I said, commentaries, there's some that are liberal that go beyond or bind too much or bind too little. And when it comes to creed books, my attitude, and I think every child of God should look at this, they're not needed. The religious world has the creed books like the 13 Articles, the Confession of Faith, the Catechism, and the Baptist Manual and such, Hiscock and others. They're not needed because we have the Word of God. That's the only creed we need, is the Word of God itself. And then there are books by denominational authors. Now, I'll say this, that when you go to your local bookstore in the area, you have to be very careful because it's filled with books that are written by men. And they can lead you in ways that are not in the truth. And I only say that to warn the flock here at West Boonville, because let me show you some examples of some of the books that are out there in your local bookstores. Your Best Life Now by Joel Osteen. It's been a top-selling New York Times bestseller. It does not tell you how to be saved. It does not tell you how to be a child of God. I have that book at home. It's not something a child of God needs to read to find what the Scriptures say. The Word of God can tell us that. Signs of the Time by John Hagee. Mere Christianity by Dwight L. Moody. These are some of the books that's out there, been popular sellers. Even though he's been gone for several years, Dwight L. Moody, his books still are alive today, well today. The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll does not teach about proper grace. He teaches a perverted grace, that grace covers our sins. And then there is the popular series Left Behind by Lachey and others. The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church by one of the ones about the Saddleback Church. One of the things about these, it's very popular books. Yet they are not at all in league with the Word of God. They're not in tune with the Word of God when it comes to our salvation. When we believe, here's point number four. When we believe we need special guidance from the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures, that man is too incapable of understanding the Scriptures, that I have to have some kind of special help, some kind of feeling, or some kind of the impersonal dwelling in order to know the Scriptures. And sometimes people say, I don't ever get that. Well, they're not getting what the Bible says because they're not understanding how the Scriptures guides us or the Holy Spirit guides us through the Word. Now, I just simply have this question. Now, I may talk about this in another subject, another lesson, but does the Holy Spirit work outside of the Word? We understand that the Spirit brought the Word, that the disciples were guided into all truth as they preached. And they preached by inspired preaching back then. We don't speak by inspiration today. That's why sometimes we may say something, we're fallible, that we're not inspired men. That's why we need to all check what the preacher says. But the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is not going to give someone something that we cannot find in the Scriptures themselves. I went to a funeral one time where the preacher said he was waiting for the Spirit. And when the Spirit came, he was going to preach. And lo and behold, the Spirit evidently came because he started preaching. Well, you know what he taught on? He taught in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch. And you know, all he had to do was open up his Bible. He could have found the same thing that he was quoting, evidently, quote unquote, by the Spirit. He could have quoted the same thing about simply opening his Bible and reading what happened. And he stopped short of everything the eunuch did for salvation as well. But in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. I want you to notice that. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There's nothing that we need that the Holy Spirit hasn't given. As Jude would tell us, it's been once for all time, delivered to the saints what God wants us to know. We can find in the Scriptures all things that pertain to life and godliness. And point number five is this. It's when we justify what we want to believe in religion, rather than looking at what the Bible really says. Let me give you an idea of this. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, here Naaman the leper was a leper. And the Bible says in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Well, what was the attitude of Naaman here? He already had figured in his mind how he would be saved. And I think sometimes people come to the Bible the same way. I know they do, because how is it that we can miss what the Scripture says unless we are like Naaman? Thinking, well, I thought it was going to be this way. Because he already had it in his mind, a preconceived idea or notion of how to be saved. There's preconceived ideas in religion like the rapture, that faith alone saves, that all churches are right, just have to find one that you like the best, or that you can't fall from grace. We'll talk about these subjects from time to time, these lessons, but we come with a preconceived idea. We will miss what the Bible really says about this, because these are points that people have missed by a long shot what the Bible teaches. And some will say our works don't matter to God. Just give your heart to Him. Don't worry about serving Him with your heart. And finally, when we show greater interest in the speculative and the unknown rather than the essential and the acquired, the speculative unknown is this. Things like the mark of the beast, the great tribulation. Well, what is the great tribulation talking about? Where did Cain get his wife? I've heard people ask burning questions. Where did Cain get his wife? We were talking to jail men, just they had on their mind, where did Cain get his wife from? Or the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Or Paul's thorn in the flesh. But what is the required and essential tonight? It's this. What must I do to be saved? That's the question that only matters, is that. What must I do to be saved? No, you cannot know what Paul's thorn in the flesh, and I don't believe I know what the thorn in the flesh was, or what the mark of the beast is all that's talking about. But when we stop and we stay on something that is not essential, and we wonder about what is essential, God's plan of salvation is essential. To believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the very forgiveness of our sins. There the blood of Christ washes away our sins. There we have the cleansing blood of Christ to help us to be saved. We're saved by grace, but it's not by grace alone. It's by following God's plan of grace. What Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. If you're here and you're subject to God's invitation call, why don't you come tonight as together we stand and